Hello, this is Jeremy Goldman, and welcome to Future Proof. I figured as we're starting this little podcast experiment, it would be good to get somebody who really knows their shit in the podcasting space, and so much has changed and in the world of audio and direct-to-consumer. And I'd like to welcome my friend Brian, who can introduce himself. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeremy. And I'm excited. It gets me excited. I'm grinning ear to ear as new projects like this get launched. I think the more of these that we can get into the eco, the better the environment is, the better the community is, and the more fun we have. So excited to be here.
Tell people a little bit more about your work for those who are not familiar.
Sure. So, so I host, two, I would say, public podcasts right now. One, I've been doing for 4 years called Smack Talk, which stands for, social, mobile, analytics, and cloud. It's a very geeky show I host with my, I co-host it with Daniel Newman, my old business partner. And it's mostly, we talk about enterprise technology, conversations, sometimes social media, but, that podcast actually started when someone told me that, only way podcasts would be successful is that you had a niche. And I said, ooh, if someone tells me that, I'm going to prove them wrong by doing the opposite. So I launched a podcast called Smack Talk that we literally talk about cloud computing one time, Facebook the next episode. The following episode, we interview a data scientist on artificial intelligence, right? And it's a fun show. I've been doing it almost 4 years now, which is kind of crazy to think about. And then the other show I host, FOMO Fans, which stands for the fear of missing out. But that show, you know, a lot of what I do for brands, a lot of what I do, you know, under the moniker or the name, iSocial Fans, is I like to help brands tell their story from a fan's perspective. You know, my last name's Fanzo. That kind of works. But, I'm a fan of podcasting. I've been listening to podcasts for almost 10 years now. And I wanted to launch my own with a co-host. I did that. I wanted to launch my own solo. I did that. Daniel and I also hosted and have launched, 3 internal brand podcasts. One for SAP, a big enterprise technology company, where we interview SAP thought leaders, and they actually use the podcast to educate employees on how valuable the insights of their thought leaders are. And the only rule of thumb for those podcasts are that the executives can't mention SAP. Right. So it's a brand podcast for internal resources. But the idea is that it's not talking about their brand or the product. It's more conveying the thought leadership of the people that we're interviewing. So, you know, for me, I love, you know, I have a presentation that I'm giving next week. My full-time job is a keynote speaker. That's a professional speaker is my full-time income. But, you know, I'm giving a new presentation on omnisensory innovation. And what I mean by omnisensory is that we live in a new world where today people want to consume and desire to learn, but they want to do it where they want, when they want, how they want, and they don't want anybody telling them different, right? The old days when we grew up, and I use this example on stage all the time, is, you know, my mom and dad, if I got good grades during the school year, I got to stay up till 9 p.m. to watch 90210 on TV.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When I talked to that, yeah, yeah, you know,
like I'm sorry, I'm like those days, the right? Biggest 90210 fan ever. So, you know,
wait, I mean, I'm the biggest. We might have to. That might be a whole other podcast. Is 90210 fandom? I literally got on a roll because of 90210. I mean, like I worked really hard. But the funny thing is, when you say that to a Gen Z or you say that to a digital consumer today, they're like, "Wait a second. Why did you have to get home at 9 p.m. and why didn't you watch every episode in a row? And why did you watch that on your TV? You didn't watch it on your phone." So the consumer and we as consumers have changed, right? The Netflix has allowed us to decide, you know, TiVo really changed a lot of things. TiVo allowed us to decide when we want to watch things. Netflix came out and all of a sudden said, "We're going to give you entire shows all at once." So then you get to decide how much of something you want to watch, which is really bad for someone like me who has an addictive personality. I like literally blew through The Punisher on Netflix this past week.
Oh, in, God, like, I still haven't started. I haven't started for the same reason that I know that I'm going to want to roll through the whole thing in like a day and a half. And I know that, yep, schedule wise, I'm like, when will I even be able to? But yeah, I hear you.
So I guess that's where I kind of bring a lot of this conversation, is that if we live in this new digital consumer world where we want to give people the choice and we want the choice as ourselves, it's important for us to start creating content in an omnisensory way. And that includes audio, that includes video, that includes written, that includes, you know, the new reality, which is, you know, virtual reality and augmented reality. And I don't think we're going to get to VR and AR if we can't first wrap around our head around audio, video, and written. And I think that's where this kind of comes together. And so future-proofing this concept, I love it. And I love that you're launching. And I appreciate you for having me on as part of the test launch here at the beginning, because it'll be fun to look back a year from now as I'm doing on my podcast, because so much has changed, yet so much has stayed the same.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I think is really interesting, and we've seen this over the last few years, is there are all these different technologies that have just made it a lot easier to go directly to the people who you're trying to talk to, right? I mean, for better or for worse, we have like even that whole conversation now on Twitter with Trump, where you have somebody who has the ability to say, well, what's the best way to get directly in front of people and have a specific message? And that's really interesting to me, because podcasting isn't so new at this point, right? Like, we're recording this at the end of 2017. And yet, I mean, what do you think has been responsible for the fact that all of a sudden a lot of people have realized this isn't that hard to do and set up and go directly in front of the people that you're trying to talk to?
The FDR days, right? FDR had his radio broadcast, his fireside chats. And I remember, hearing my grandfather tell me about that these were consume content, and that the radio was the number one place for FDR to deliver that message. Well, the times have changed, and, I actually love and appreciate the fact that our president is socially getting things out there. Now, sometimes you wish that he had an editing team or someone to proof some of the things that he's retweeting or not retweeting. But one of the things that I think is, I use this word access. We crave access to people. We crave access to experiences. We crave, we would love to know what it's like to walk around the Oval Office. We would love to know what's going through, our favorite celebrities' heads. And now we have that ability. And I think the podcasting one's interesting, because I for a long time believed that podcasting, the reason that podcasting wasn't truly taking off, but it was growing, was because people just needed more ways to consume it. So I kept saying, once we get the smart car and the cars have podcasting, then we'll have more podcasts. Or once people, have a phone that has faster internet, connected with 3G or 4G or eventually 5G technology, maybe that's it. But I've changed my mind. I believe podcasting growth is going to really, we're going to see something that we've never seen before in podcasting 2018. And it's mainly because of consumer behaviors. We are now seeing more video than ever before. And there's one thing that video, just like Netflix, and the reason that you're not watching The Punisher is because that when you sit in front of The Punisher, and if it's a good TV show that brings you in, you don't multitask. You're not doing something else. You're not accomplishing something else alongside of it. And so what's happening there is, as we become more of an on-demand culture, as more social video and Facebook Live and Periscope comes around, all of a sudden now we're losing some of that multitasking or that multi-consumption that we used to have. And we're now looking for new places to consume content while we're doing something else. I mean, I listen to podcasts when I used to commute in Northern Virginia here in DC. I used to commute over an hour and 10 minutes into the Pentagon when I worked in the Pentagon, which is a whole other story. But hour and 10 minutes each way. And that's where I fell in love with podcasting. But if I wasn't commuting, I didn't really listen to podcasts. Well, I work from home now, and because I'm doing a lot of video creation and I create a lot of content myself, what I figured out was I actually train my Amazon Alexa to, every morning when I ask her to give me my daily news brief, included in my daily news brief are podcast episodes. And so I get to listen to those podcasts in the morning when I'm brushing my teeth, when I'm in the shower, when I'm getting my coffee, when I'm sitting down at my desk starting things off, because what we're figuring out was I still desire to consume content. I still desire to be kind of this, multi-learner. But because some of these other mediums are taking all of my attention and consuming so much of my time, I need to figure out where these other things fit. And there's really nothing like audio, because that not only does it allow you to, you know, you can listen to podcasts when you're in the car, when you're working out, when you're taking a shower, you know, like all these things where you know, you're not going to read a book when you're in the shower. When you're working out and you've tried to read anything, it gets me nauseous because you're like running on the treadmill and all of a sudden all the words are bouncing up and down. But podcasting fits in there. And the other thing that is amazing about podcasting is there is no more intimate experience content than podcasting, even more so than video. And the reason is when I'm painting you this picture of my morning, I just gave you that, you know, and hopefully the audience is painting a picture where I'm clothed, right? And I have my clothes on. I'm getting ready for the day.
Hopefully, but to each their own, who knows?
Correct. Well, and that's the piece that I believe allows podcasting to be so intimate is it allows each of us to paint our own individual picture. So us as the podcaster, as us, you know, as a guest or as a host of a podcast, we share our story. We share insights. We provide people, you know, hopefully some knowledge, maybe some motivation. But what we allow them to do is the freedom to, you know, imagine that in any way they choose. And in every other place, right, even the graphics we put in a blog post, most of the times those graphics are to support our narrative to get people to go down a certain path. But in podcasting, the freedom for the listener to feel very close to you as the host while also being able to paint your own picture is pretty amazing. I was listening to a podcast this week, and I went back and I listened to it a second time, and I thought, the whole time I was listening to it the first time, I was thinking of it my own way. And then I thought, well, what picture was the host picturing it? And how cool is that? That it allows, it's truly personalization of consumption because the audience can take it and imagine it any way they want. And it's why I think podcasting is going to grow. I think it's going to take off. The more people consume video, the more they're going to consume podcasts because podcasts are going to replace a lot of this other space that video is kind of taking up.
You know, and that brings up like a really good point as to like why there's been all this growth for not just podcasts, but audio related technologies in general, because one of the things that I've seen is, you know, you try to think about like what makes us human. And one of the things is that when I'm, for instance, walking my dogs or commuting to work, it doesn't make that much sense for me to be consuming video. And like you said, in the shower, right? I mean, there are certain times where video is just inappropriate because it's taking you away from your core thing that you're trying to do at that moment. And audio doesn't. And that's not actually going to change, because that's how we're biologically wired. You know, like you can actually compartmentalize your audio versus your visual, but you can't really say, I'm going to be walking down the streets of New York en route to the Q train, but watching a video. I mean, you kind of can, and those people are running into poles and stuff, and it's fun to watch them. I mean, there's a reason why audio, and like you said, like, I mean, with Alexa, with Siri and other voice-related technologies, I mean, I feel like smart speakers have really gone mainstream in 2017 specifically because of that.
It is. And there's also this element of voice is so powerful, right? Voice, just voice alone is just one of those, you know, it's why the FDR radio fireside chats moved a country, right? It's the reason that, you know, we love music. We just the idea that it's a very leveling platform as well, right? Because when you're listening to hear someone talk, it doesn't matter how pretty, how ugly they are, what clothes they're wearing, what clothes they're not wearing. You know, and I found myself, I love a lot of podcasts that I probably would never have watched if they were a TV show, or I never would have subscribed to their email newsletter, but I enjoyed the way that they told things and the dialect in their voice. And maybe it was because I could relate to them. A couple of them were Italian. They talk really fast, and I fell in love with how they talk. But it's just this, you know, audio is so cool. And it is, like you said, like we were both at that Innovation Congress event that you guys put on earlier this year. And, you know, I got to interview the CEO of Hound, one of the voice activation services. And, you know, what she was talking about a lot was understanding dialect and people's tone and getting this true personalization through audio. And the whole time I was thinking, I mean, that is powerful. Like that is where the future excites me, because my daughter says goodnight to Alexa right now, but sometimes she has to say it like 11 times for Alexa to understand exactly what she's saying. But in a very near future, these smart speakers, this audio technology is not only going to be able to understand her, but it's going to know the difference between her and me. It's going to know the difference between it's 8 o'clock and 8:30 and say goodnight, you know, Logan, and you're past your bedtime. You better go right to sleep. And like, all of that will be done in kind of this audio format. I mean, how exciting is that? I think it's an arena that I think is really going to allow us as humans to feel and be connected in ways that we really haven't been able to in the digital space the last couple of years.
Oh, absolutely. Just being aware of the fact that there's so much great content out there that you can learn from that wouldn't have necessarily been out there before. I mean, as much as people talk about distance learning with things like the Khan Academy, I think that there's an element of distance learning even informally with respect to podcasting and audio content, because like you said, there's a whole lot of why the hell not? Why don't I just subscribe to this and I'll see if I like it? And if not, I'll eventually remove it. But, you know, I can actually add a whole lot of things just to try, where I feel like I'm constantly being exposed to new ideas that a few years ago, you know, a random, you know, schmuck like me probably would not have been exposed to, because this wasn't a venue. It's kind of like when we went to cable and all of a sudden there were like 600 channels. I mean, a lot of that is junk, but there are also a few things there that might really transform your life that you wouldn't have known about otherwise.
You know, and the other nice thing about podcasting is, you know, you and I are doing this in two different states, two different, you know, we could do it in different time zones, we could do it in different worlds. I mean, ultimately, we could do this from our phone. And I think we've, you know, being able to democratize or kind of separate now, because before, I mean, I wanted to be a Sports Center anchor. That was my dream, you know, in high school. Everyone asked me, I'm like, I'm going to be on Sports Center. And then I realized you have to have a journalism degree and you have to really know your grammar. And I was really bad at that. And I kind of defaulted to, to technology and computer science. And I ended up getting a major in computer science. And then my first job was in cybersecurity. And I always tell everybody, you know, I went to university here in Virginia, but I went to YouTube University for cybersecurity, because not one thing that I learned in college helped me for that my first job, because it was a new field. And I used everything on YouTube. Well, YouTube was the only arena at that time for me to consume that type of content. And you had to be a pretty big name. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I was watching was from, you know, the Microsofts of the world and the bigger the fish. Well, fast forward now, you know, I graduated college in 2003. So fast forward, you know, 14 years, you know, anybody that has a phone can now share their message with people, right? And not only can they share their message, but you might not need to hit the entire world. Like the two podcasts that I host, one has, I mean, probably five times more downloads than the other. The other one is more successful from a financial perspective, and it reaches more decision makers, because the way the podcast has kind of fallen, the people that are subscribed to it are big budget people that work for an enterprise technology companies, right? And so that, and I'm able to do that all just being a normal schmuck like myself that, you know, I listen to podcasts in the morning to learn. And so I went to YouTube University in 2003. I think in 2017, I go to Podcast University, because I consume so much of my knowledge, so much of my ideas, and so much of other people's way of thinking through audio. And I mean, I'm blessed that we live in a world that allows, you know, it's the blessing and the curse. You know, anyone in the world can press the button, which gives us all the power. The reason that there's a lot of bad video content, it's the reason that most podcasts fail after seven episodes, is that anyone can do it. You do have to have something to say, and you have to understand the commitment involved around it. But I think this is a powerful space that we're living in, is that we are truly giving. There is no such thing as being voiceless anymore. And that comes across in everything, including, you know, today's mainstream media with, you know, sexual harassment and those kind of things. We are allowing everyone's voice to be heard. And I think that's the most exciting thing we could have for this world.
Yeah, no, that's true. And then I also think about, this is something I was talking about with a friend the other day, which is that every generation looks and almost pats itself on the back. And I'm not knocking you, because I kind of do it too. I say, isn't it so great to live in the world that we live in now with all of the advancements that we've had? And yet 20 years from now, people are going to look back at us and be kind of laughing and being like, haha, they didn't know what the hell they were talking about. Or I can't believe they lived like this. And a perfect example of which is, it's a little bit far afield from audio, but I got my 4-year-old daughter, she doesn't know this yet, I got her like a $10 digital camera, and I looked at the specs, and it's better than like the camera in 2003, I think. I when you were graduating college, I was like buying a $300 camera that's worse than this $10 one is now, you know? So that's like how quickly things are moving. And I kind of wonder, what are the things that we're doing now? What is the thing that people are going to be laughing at us and saying, you guys were so backward? So do you think there's anything where you're like particularly excited, where you feel like we're going to advance quickly? Like what are you most excited for going into 2018 from a advancement technological or otherwise perspective?
So I don't know if it's 2018, but one of the things that I think about, and it's now, you know, I love watching, my people watching is probably my favorite sport, right? And, you know, every time I'm in New York, any place, if I can sit around and just watch how people interact, watch how people do things, I'm the guy that goes up to them and saying like, why are you using that app? And one of the things that, you know, I have three daughters, my oldest is 7 years old, and, you know, she looks at the keyboard as the oddest thing in the world, because for her, you know, she's learning how to write and she's really become a great reader. But whenever she wants to text me back on her, you know, iPod Touch that's connected to the Wi-Fi, she just hits the microphone button and talks, and her words appear and she hits the button. And I think, you know, 10 years from now, maybe even sooner than that, we're going to have people that look back and say, why were you typing on a keyboard? Like, why would you not just talk into the computer? The computer would 100%. Understand.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. Right, I've been like, doing voice dictation for a long time. I was actually one of those people who was using Dragon Naturally Speaking a long time ago before everybody else. Dragon. And it wasn't nearly as good as what we have now. And you had to train it and everything. But I look at it and I'm like, the whole people like to tell me, oh, actually, the keyboard's not going away. And I don't think it's going away. I just think it's going to be far underused in relation to what we think of it now. You know what I mean? It's going to be like a, by the way, you should have a keyboard, not like a, you have to have a keyboard to function.
One of my good friends has a younger brother that's 13 years old. And I asked him and he laughed. He's like, I don't use the keyboard on my phone ever, but I don't ever use voice dictation on my computer. So for him, the keyboard makes a lot of sense when he's typing emails. But when he's replying to text messages, the fact that he would even look down at his phone, because that goes to that point about audio, right? For him, he's walking down the street, just has the handset up to his mouth, and he's just, you know, talking his reply of text message right back into the phone. It goes out immediately. And so I think you're right. I'm not one that ever believes that like something will completely erase something, but I think keyboards will be one of those things that we'll look at and be like, man, that's a weird technology that, you know. And then, you know, another one will actually be, if you look at podcasting as a whole, like podcasting still has a way to go, because I remember when I first got into podcasting, it took me forever to figure out like how I was going to get it hosted somewhere, how I was going to get syndicated, how I was going to use the ID3 tags. How was I going to tag it, but if I was going to update it, what formats I needed to get it in, you know. And now there's, you know, like technology like Zencastr or technologies like Libsyn that have really fast forwarded. But another thing I think we're going to start to see is that, you know, the distribution model is really hard. I think that'll continue to get hard. I think the creation of audio type content is going to get simpler and simpler and simpler. I mean, and Gary Vaynerchuk says it best, you know, like the creating of the content is the easy part. Getting it in front of your right audience at the right time is the hard part. And that's what really, it does take some talent. But I think we are going to simplify some of these things. You know, video is a perfect example. It used to be you had to go into a studio with a professional video camera. Now you have an iPhone with a $5 tripod, and you can almost put out similar quality content. But to answer that original question about what I'm excited to for in 2018 is I'm actually really excited to see audio and video be integrated across all departments of a company. I think we're going to start, you know, because right now marketing has got onto the bandwagon of live video. Marketing sees podcasting as valuable, but I'm excited to see things like human resources start to get excited about live video, them get excited about internal podcast. I'm excited about teams like, you know, what if you have a product management team or a product marketing team, and everyone's, you know, has a separate, you know, world. How can we use video collaboration? How can we use, you know, video to start telling our story from a product team or from an engineers team or software developers? Like, so for me, I'm excited to see marketers do less bad content, which I think we'll, with 2017, I think will be the year of really bad video. we've mastered the fact that yes, anybody can press the button. And that's why a lot of video is bad. A lot of video as a whole is bad. And I say that as someone that has contributed to that very bad audio.
But you know what though? But I'll tell you, I got to say, just to interrupt you, I think that you're like purely at your heart an experimenter in the best way, where it's like something, there's a new toy and you're like, hell yeah, I'm going to go try out that toy and figure it out. And sometimes you do have to make some bad stuff in order to make the good stuff that comes later.
For sure. Which I, you know, I guess that part of me, I guess part of it's wishful thinking, right? Because if I'm the one that kicks the tires and does some of the bad stuff and tries things out and does the trial and error, if I'm doing my job in 2017 as, you know, and this is job as in like what I feel I can contribute to my industry and my peers, is that hopefully they can learn from all of my mistakes and do it way better than me in 2018, right? And I think that is part of what I do. I mean, even the companies that I work with, majority of the time, I'm the one that's the guinea pig, then I'm the one that helps them build the strategy. And then if it's a really successful partnership, I turn the keys over to them and say, now do it yourself because you're best at telling your own story. I've now prepared you and you can now take it to all new heights. I mean, SAP is a perfect example. I mean, Daniel Newman and I helped SAP do the very first live video. We helped them do their very first podcast. They now have, I think, like 9 podcasts. They're working with Aftermark Video to do professional video series that they call the Life At series. And they're no longer my client. I don't get money from them anymore, but I am like their biggest fan because they took what we kind of helped them change. We helped them get over that new mindset. And I think that goes for everyone that's listening. I think part of future proofing is being okay with, you know, if you're not the new early adopter, if you're not the person like me that's being there, that's kicking all the tires, being okay with not being first to the party, but also being confident enough to learn from everybody else, right? Because when someone asks me about that, they're like, Brian, should everybody be an early adopter? I'm like, no way. I mean, like, it's the reason I created that podcast, FOMO Fans, is that I want to help cure your fear of missing out so that when the fear goes away, you understand the technology. And when it makes the most sense for you, you implement it, right? I don't want like this idea where I spent a long time trying to get everybody to embrace their FOMO. Then I realized, well, not everybody wants to fail like I do. Not everyone wants to try out everything. And you know, like the amount of broken technology that's sitting on my desk behind my monitor right now is, I mean, it's a stack. It's like a pile of just junk because I've tested it out, tried things out, you know, people send me stuff. But I think that's the coolest part about as we future proof, it's no longer about, you know, am I the first? Because if you're not the first, you need to be smart enough to learn from the first. If you're not the first or the second, you need to be able to look at everybody else. Because I think this is that weird world where the only way you will fail in this future proof era is if you are not willing to learn from others, because then you don't benefit from not being the early adopter. And then you end up being behind the curve. And I think that's the old way of doing things. I really hope we change
so
that. As
this is through. Really great. I was going to say actually in terms of, and I got to let you go because I know you're a busy guy and everything, but how can people hear more, learn a little bit more about your work if they're interested?
So, you know, I created the FOMO Fans podcast with a simple idea that said, if you only have 30 minutes a week, and I've done 2000 live videos in a little over 2 years. I create, a couple blog posts a week on my blog. I do live videos. I do the 2 podcasts, but FOMO Fans, FOMOFANZ with a Z at the end or a Z at the end, is the podcast that I send people to. And then the piece about it is, you know, in this crazy digital world, the hardest, easiest thing you can do is be consistent. If you want to stand out, consistency is so important. So my company, my brand is iSocialFans. So I can almost promise you, if there's a brand new social media platform, if there's a new technology and it has an account on there, if you look up iSocialFans with a Z at the end, you'll find me, and it's iSocialFans.com. So, look me up anywhere. Twitter is probably my favorite platform for people to engage with me on. But if you're looking to consume content that I create, definitely check out the FOMO Fans.
Well, Brian, thank you again for joining us today. And thank you all for listening. And once again, this was Future Proof.